Hello, Patreon! Yes, here we are for another month of another bonus episode. You know me, it's Dave, and I'm here with...
I really felt like you were building to something more. Dave is not satisfying.
It's Dave.
I thought you were laughing because you know me. Still say my name just in case.
Oh, that's
and I'm here
funnier.
With Matt.
Well, Jess is here with Matt, and that's Jess. Hello. Let us say hello to our Patreon supporters. Hello.
Hello, Patreon supporters, you beautiful fucks.
Oh, so you sorry. Lovely, lovely people that contribute to our upkeep.
Yeah.
Like, I get a haircut because of you.
You contribute more than our upkeep. You can contribute to our souls.
I get my nails did.
You get your nails did?
Yeah, I get them did.
I get them did.
I get my ass bleached. That's all because of you guys.
That costs a
really?
Fortune.
Is that... you?
No, I'm kidding.
Do you reckon it's as painful as it sounds?
I don't know.
Bleach. Like, bleach, surely that stings.
Oh, I never considered it.
Yeah.
I don't understand why you don't think it's actually burning, is it?
I don't know. I don't want to know.
I get my my arsehole hydrochloric acided. If you really want a good clean.
I get mine chloroformed.
Oh, yeah. It's sleeping all night.
Someone comes up with a cloth to Jess's ass and it's like slowly lowers it to the ground.
I'm just sitting down now.
Shh, 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 shh,
shh, shh. Hey, and she's out.
But I'm still awake. Don't do anything to it.
But your butt's asleep.
Your butt's asleep.
That's so weird. But hey, that's what I like to do. That's me. That's Wacky Jess, old chloroform butt over here.
And patrons, don't tell anyone that because Jess wants to keep that a big secret from the wider community.
I have so many secrets.
The wider community.
Let's all confess to a crime just to make this more high stakes.
Okay.
All right, Matt, come on, take us off.
Oh, crime.
Come on, you've killed before. You'll kill again.
Yes, okay.
Bloody all over Queensland and New South Wales last week, am I right?
Ayo.
Killing him with kindness.
Kindness.
That's our boy.
Kill him with chloroform.
The country. I doing this bit that I intro with talking about loving Australian rules football in Queensland and New South Wales.
Very
like,
good.
You guys don't love that up here, do you? And most nights they're like, nah, yeah, nah, yeah. Like trying to be nice. But then the last one in, where were we? We were in New South Wales. I forget. They were just like, nah, we don't. And they were booing and they got really angry about it. And like, yeah, there was this one big old guy in the front who was furious that I brought it up.
There's always one furious big old
Australian
guy.
Rules. You get that rubbish out of here. It was like that kind of
we're
thing.
We're a rugby town.
And I go, mate, I know rugby too. Tight head props. Is that a thing?
What the fuck's
that?
Is that
close?
What's
I'm like,
that?
That's a position, right? And he's like, not quite. I'm like, fuck. Anyway, let me stay. Let me live.
Oh, well, that's sweet.
Oh. Tight head prop?
What's that? What's that mean?
That might be a real one, actually. It's a position.
Sex position.
Sex position.
Unrelated to rugby.
Yeah, it's one of those illegal sex positions that the rugby players do.
It's real hot, though.
Sounds it.
That's why it's
I'll draw you a diagram
act.
Later. I can't really describe it now. It'd be... would. I mean, we've already got an explicit rating on this podcast, but I can't take it.
What's more than explicit?
I don't know.
Sexplicit. That's this podcast all over.
Yeah. So, you've got a report for us, David.
I've got a bonus little report here, and...
make it little, would you?
All right, delete. All right, it's a story.
Okay,
it tells you that I actually
of a man named Brady.
Yes.
Oh,
really?
No, it isn't.
The quarterback for the
Wayne Brady. No, Tom Brady. Wayne Brady from Whose Line Is It Anyway?
The quarterback from that singing and dancing show.
From Whose Line? No, Tom Brady.
He also, Wayne Brady also hosted this show that was like a karaoke show.
Oh, the Singing Bee.
What a weird thing.
I saw him live in concert once.
In concert?
Yeah, I suppose you'd call it that. He was kind of a stand-up gig, but he also brought people out to do songs and dances.
Didn't
he
do like improv rap?
Yeah, he's an amazing guy.
Oh, yeah. He was always great. I always liked Colin Mochrie. And
yeah, Colin Mochrie, Ryan
Stiles. They were such a good pair.
Colin Mochrie is so funny.
I met Colin Mochrie in Edinburgh.
Wow.
Do not disappoint. Was he a nice guy?
He was very nice. Well, he was there because he was, you know, Ben Russell was in the show there.
Yeah.
And they asked him if he'd be up for being on it, and he was.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's just, so that's like just some Aussie guy asked you, do you mind being on my show? And he did.
Oh, that's very cool.
Cool.
Yeah, I always liked him and Ryan together on Whose Line. I thought they had very good chemistry. They read each other well, and that's very important.
Who's the tall guy?
Ryan Stiles.
Yeah.
Like from the Drew Carey show.
Drew Carey show, yeah. He was so good. Anyway.
Anyway, so...
Is this about...
It's about the Drew Carey show.
Yes!
Oh,
Oswald.
Ohio.
He's got one of my favourites on there. The guy went on to host The Late Late Show.
Craig Ferguson.
Craig Ferguson was the boss.
That's the boss.
And a caddy. And he did a weird English accent.
What about Mimi?
Mimi... Yeah, I was going to say Mimi Rogers, but that's Tom Cruise's ex-wife.
No.
Elle McPherson.
That's Mimi McPherson, and it's Elle McPherson's sister. I got so much of that wrong, and I was not trying to fuck about. That was just me being genuinely stupid.
Which happens. Getting
late tonight.
It is.
Yeah, so I've got a topic here. I actually mentioned this one in our Facebook Live episode, but I was that keen on it. I don't know if you guys remembered me mentioning it.
Oh, my God.
If you remember me mentioning it.
Oh, my God. Hang on. Can I guess? Or do you want to ask
a question?
Oh, do you
have
a question? You said you didn't have a question.
What episode topic did I mention on our Facebook? The question we got, we did a Q&A on Facebook, if you missed it, guys. You can still see it. And you'll see that I'm not lying. Someone said, are there any topics that you want to do, but there's not enough info on them? And I was like, yeah, well, this one. But I decided, you know what? There's enough for a mini episode.
It's like a bulldozer.
Oh, baby, it is.
Killdozer.
It's the killdozer.
I was going to say murder dozer. I was like, that's not right.
Murder dozer's even more hardcore. It's the killdozer, which has been suggested twice recently by two people on email. I hope they're patrons so they get to hear this. Dilly Dally on email. Thank you very much, Dilly. And also, I don't know if that's your real name, but I hope it is. Also, Hayden Griggs saying that this is in their home state.
Hayden.
Colorado.
Awesome.
Ooh. Colorado.
Killdozer.
Yes, I can't tell if it was their hometown or just their state, so... Anyway, good on you, Hayden Griggs. I'm going to start this topic with a quote, which Matt has been doing a couple of times, and I've loved it, so I'm going to appropriate that.
Oh, go Matt. What a trendsetter.
Set a bit of... I mean, this is a quote from a person I'm going to introduce.
He looks up to
after
you.
After the quote.
Yeah, no. Well, is that news to you?
He's taller, older, and sexier.
That's true.
Two out of three.
All true.
And good with children.
That's also true.
All right, we've got...
Weird. That's a weird thing to throw in.
It's just a nice compliment.
Okay.
Not everybody is. Anyway, Dave, the quote.
Also an alcoholic.
There we go.
Oh, sorry.
Your fatal flaw.
Yeah. There's only one thing wrong with him.
There's always one thing.
I'm not even.
No, you're not.
I haven't had a drink in a day.
An alcoholic couldn't say that.
Yeah, I bet you couldn't. Not at all. Not one drink today. Thank you.
You must be very dehydrated.
What are you doing when you get home? Oh, no.
Probably crack a tinny.
Probably crack a case.
No. Where are you? Slabs. Can you call them cases?
I was like a case of whiskey.
Dear.
Cognac. Not a case of beer.
No.
Case of cognac.
A case of bloody cognac.
Hell.
How much cognac's that?
That's a lot of cognac.
30 litres.
Whoa. That's going to die.
You know, in the wider do-go-on listening community, some people do not like the babbling up top.
People complain. We've had a one-star review on iTunes, and it really cut me to the bone. It cut me down.
Oh. I might be misguided here, but I feel like people who are supporting us on Patreon are okay with a little bit of babble, especially with the knowledge that if this wasn't in it, the episode would just be this amount shorter. It's not at all affecting the length of the report. And
yeah.
You can fast forward through this, I suppose.
Anyway, let's just do the quote then.
Good point.
Instead of just explaining how long we're fucking taking, just get to it.
But obviously you guys are big supporters of the show, but if you want to give us a 5-star rating to get rid of that 1-star, because that really cut me deep, guys.
Yeah, he's been thinking about it for a while.
This quote actually applies to me in response to that review. Sometimes reasonable men must do unreasonable things. Yeah.
Oh.
Hayley, give us a fucking 1-star review, why don't you? Sorry, I entered the quote when I said unreasonable things.
Gotcha.
The rest of it was a bit of ad lib for me.
Great quote, though. Very
powerful.
Isn't
that a great quote? Sometimes reasonable men must do unreasonable things. And that was written in a diary.
Ooh.
Later found.
Ooh.
Wow.
Let's get into it. I want to hear this.
The writer of that quote, Marvin Heemeyer, was a welder who owned a muffler shop in Granby, Colorado.
Marvin's mufflers. Come on down.
Come on down. Get your Marvin. I've got them both. If you think you can take me on, I've got a monopoly on all things muffin, all things Marvin. This is in Granby, Colorado, a town which I look up now only has 1,800 residents. It's quite a smallish town. Heemeyer first became enamored with the state of Colorado when he was stationed there in the Air Force. After his Air Force service ended, he moved to Grand Lake, Colorado, and opened a small chain of muffler shops in the surrounding cities.
Marvin's Mufflers.
I can't confirm whether they call that. If they didn't do that, I can see what went wrong for him. After a while, he began to lease some of the shops out to other operators, but he kept one for himself. Mount View, there it is, Mount View Muffler. Ugh. In Granby.
It's not bad.
Mount, that's not as good as
it's still got a bit
Marvin's
of alliteration, but Marvin's Mufflers
Marvin's
very good.
Mount View Mufflers.
Yeah, well.
Marvin's Mountain Mufflers, that's way better. God, I could have saved this guy. From doing unreasonable things, I mean. From what I read, he was generally well-liked amongst his friends and neighbours, being described as one online as, quote, an enjoyable person and someone who would bend over backwards for anyone.
Much like a muffler would.
Jess doesn't know what a muffler is.
I'm just trying to get...
I'm pretty sure they... Don't they muffle? I think that's what they do.
Yeah. By bending...
Duh. Oh, sorry. Sorry, you're absolutely right.
Hey, which one of us just spent way too much money getting their car serviced?
I did as well. $1,100.
Mine was 12.
Yeah, yours was 12 because you kept bending all your mufflers backwards.
Oh, I thought it would help.
We both drive pretty cheap cars too.
Yeah, it's very
yours was cheap because it was given to you.
Mine is probably only worth three times what I just paid. Oh, God. I don't want to talk about it anymore. I'm sorry I brought it up. Continue with the story.
Well liked from what I read. There were some, however, who were more familiar with his volatile temperament. He pushed for gambling to be legalized. He was a big fan and wanted gambling to be legalized. He wrote a couple of pamphlets on it, apparently.
Okay.
Wow, when that is dedication.
Two. Upwards of two.
Wow.
He had Microsoft Publisher.
Remember Publisher. When a reporter for a local paper interviewed Heemeyer for a story that turned out to be actually opposed to gambling, so they were using him to be like, don't agree with this crackpot. The reporter reported, as they do, that Heemeyer was so enraged by the opposition that the interview nearly came to fisticuffs.
Oh, no.
In one particularly extreme instance, Heemeyer threatened to kill a customer's husband when she refused to pay for a faulty muffler repair. One of Heemeyer's close associates, quote, "If Marv was your friend, he was your best friend. But if he decided that he was your enemy, then he was your worst and most dangerous enemy."
Sure, was also going to be best friend.
He was also your best friend.
Yeah, everyone. He just had a lot of good, really good friends.
As they say, enemies close, friends less close. Or the other way around. Fuck that up. But what I'm trying to build here is the image of a man who may hold a grudge.
Uh-huh.
A grudge holder, if you will.
My brother's a grudge holder.
Really?
Yeah, I remember one time when I was a teenager, so he was in his early 20s. We were like play wrestling. No, we weren't even play wrestling. He just hit me one time and I cracked it and said, "Ow, dude, you actually hurt me." And then he didn't talk to me for 3 days. He was in his early 20s.
Because he hurt you.
He hurt me and then he cracked the shit. And I called him on it. I was like, "Nah, not on. You actually really hurt me there. We weren't just play fighting. That hurt." And he didn't talk to me.
Wow. I'm a grudge holder for sure.
Are you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Was that one star review again?
Hayley.
How do you remember the
13
name?
13 Smith. No, I don't know her address. I wish I did.
Oh, my God. Imagine.
Wish I bloody. The worst part about iTunes reviews, you can't reply.
Yeah. But that's probably for the best.
What would you have said?
Fuck you, Hayley.
Who's writing their name on a...
That was it. You can have like any name, like Johnny Horse 69 if you want.
Well, let's not forget Chill Out Jess being the name of one of the reviewers one time.
Oh, he Jess said, is also holding grudges.
Yeah,
Matt.
Okay, that one was from a while ago and it said, "They're very funny. Like Matt's very funny when Jess lets him speak."
Yeah.
She's settled down recently.
Matt was trying to comment and Jess cut him off.
Maddie, I'm very sorry. What were you going to say?
No, I was just going to say I disagree entirely with her sentiments. I think you never cut me off is what I was trying to say before you cut me off.
Anyway, killdozer, please, Dave.
In the early 1990s.
Good years. I remember them.
Oh, yeah. The owners of Mountain Park Concrete who are the Dochev family.
Uh-huh.
Let's just go with that. Approached Heemeyer to buy his muffler shop in Grand Lake, his last remaining one, in order to build a concrete batch plant on the land. Heemeyer had bought the land for $42,000 a few years earlier. The Dochevs reported that they agreed to buy the land for $250,000.
Oh, wow.
So it's made a big profit.
Huge.
But the deal fell through when Heemeyer raised the price to $375,000. And reportedly once even mentioned that he would not sell for less than $1 million.
Being a bit ambitious there, I think.
So some say he just didn't want to sell and just kept jacking up the price until any reasonable person would walk away.
Yeah.
So what? Why not take just say
I'm not selling? Yeah. No, I don't think it was on the market. They approached him because they wanted that land.
So he was trying to tell them a price too high, and they're like, "Great!" And he's like, "Oh,
shit, no, right, a double million. It, triple it."
Great, yeah, sweet, sign me up.
Oh god, $2 trillion.
Yep.
No worries, we're pretty right good
now. Here we go.
Just two add a few extra zeros.
How do you spell trillion?
There's no stopping you, people.
You're an animal.
Having grown weary of Heemeyer's indecisiveness, the Dochevs did walk away.
And I'm walking away.
They pulled an absolute Craig David. They met him on Monday. They took him for a drink on Tuesday. He wanted $1 million by Wednesday, and by Thursday, Friday, Saturday, what they did was they went to Granby City Council and sought to rezone the land surrounding Heemeyer's muffler shop.
On Sunday.
They chilled on Sunday.
Oh, yeah, they chill. They don't work on Sunday at the council. They wanted to rezone.
They don't bloody work on weekdays, too. That's what you play pencil pushers and the bloody goes just. Nah, good on you. Thank you for your service.
Good on you guys. They wanted to rezone the land surrounding the shop and turn that into a concrete factory. So they can't build it there. We'll just buy the land around that, which at the moment you're not allowed to build stuff like concrete shop on.
Concrete shop?
Concrete plant, like a factory.
Making concrete.
But they applied. They said, can we turn that into an industrial-style land? You know, like, can we get permits? And the council...
Not industrial land. Industrial-style land.
a concrete shop. Look, Matt, if you're not going to listen, I don't know why I do all the research I do into concrete shops.
One concrete, please.
Right away, sir.
That'd be 25,000, okay? 50. No, 1 million. It took a few years.
That's a callback to earlier. I get it. I get jokes.
It took a few years, but in 2001, remember, we've gone from the early 90s to 2001, the Town Zoning Commission and trustees approved the rezoning request for the concrete factory. So they said, you can build a factory. This pissed off Marvin especially because the plan for the concrete plant cut off the only route to his muffler shop.
What?
So they built
the council allowed that.
Built over the road that went to his shop.
What?
That makes no sense.
And also cut off his sewer line. Oh. So he's got no longer...
He can't poop.
The council then fined him $2,500 for not having a sewer line.
That's incredible.
That is amazing.
So when... I think the way... Because Jess said that meant he couldn't poop. I think what Jess... when you said sewer line, she thought you meant his butt cavity.
No.
He blocked off his butthole.
They bought the land around his butt cavity and then cut it off.
If you don't have a sewer line, Matt, and you poop in a toilet, which is now just a bucket, where's it going?
It's a wet bucket.
It's a wet bucket. You press fresh, where's it go? Fresh fresh. Where's it go?
That's true. It is true. I just thought maybe you could go somewhere else. Maybe find a toilet around the corner or...
Oh, that's hardly convenient, is it?
Shit in a bucket, like you said.
A wet bucket.
A wet bucket. Well, he's not an animal,
he's not
Matt.
An animal, not in a dry bucket. I had to poop in a dry bucket once.
Oh, no. Wasn't dry for long, was it? Knowing you.
Gross.
What are you saying?
I don't want you to keep saying. Just keep telling the story.
He also got fined for having junk cars on his property.
Okay, but he's a muffler. He's a muffler man.
The council...
I'm a muffler man. I'm a muffler man. Doing a little dance in my muffler van.
Doing a little dance in my muffler pants.
I just definitely stole that tune from Auntie Donna. That's Bikey Wars. That's the Bikey Wars.
I thought it was a Kappa Jack. I'm a businessman. I got business shoes. I'm a businessman.
Right. So everybody here at Stupid Old Studio just plagiarizes each other is what we're saying.
Yeah.
Cool. It's beautiful.
That Kappa Jack show was without a doubt probably the funniest show I've ever seen.
So funny.
I wish they'd do more. Anyway, guys, you missed out on
that. They do a podcast you could listen to.
Yes, enjoy Jack Kappa, Jack Drews and Nick Kappa's What's the...
It's called Reloaded 2000. 2000.
Well, they come up with sequels to movies and the sequels don't already exist. So they just, like, pick a movie, like The Titanic Part 2.
but they don't just make every sequel, whatever, like, insert title 2 Back in the Habit, do they?
No, they should, though.
Idiots.
That'd be a way more efficient process. We just banged out 100 episodes, Savo.
So anyway, this guy's pissed off. He's got, but he's got nowhere to piss, by the way.
Yeah. No toilet.
But he's super angry. He, Maya, set out to remedy this awful situation using community action, legal manoeuvring, and a lot of appeals. He appealed the Zoning Commission's decision and gathered signatures from the townsfolk to petition against the plan. So he sort of got the community on his side a bit. He attempted to obtain permission to install a sewer line under 8 feet of land owned by the concrete plant, but they wouldn't let him. They said no. So they could let him. But because they didn't sell, he didn't sell them the land.
Oh.
They've been.
It wouldn't. It's 8 feet underneath the land. So it'd take a day with a digger to put it in.
Clarence's.
Yeah.
Absolute Clarence's. He even went so far as he bought his own bulldozer. He, Maya, offered to build a new road that would allow customer access to his muffler shop at his own expense, but the city council declined to approve his plan.
Oh my god! So this sounds like a classic council nightmare.
He's got no shop. Like, no road to his shop, no sewer. He could not function without the sewer line and the cooperation of the town. So
he was backed up, that's why.
He's fucking backed up. Hemeyer sent the city a $2,500 check to cover the fine with the word cowards written on the memo line.
Nah, fair.
He then sold the muffler shop property to a trash company and was given 6 months to vacate.
Shit.
So what do you do when you're fed up with the world, you own a bulldozer that you offered to build your own road with but got denied? What you do is you spend 18 months in a shed secretly turning it into a killdozer.
Okay. I'm totally on board with this guy. Are you on board?
100%, yes. Hang on. I want to hear more about this killdozer and his plans with it. But seriously, like, this is a situation.
When we're talking about killing, we're talking about killing concrete and not humans.
Right, Dave?
Or dogs.
Oh, let me describe the killdozer.
Oh, no.
The machine used in the incident was a Komatsu D355A bulldozer.
Incident is never good, man.
Quite big. It's a big one. If you see, there's videos of this. It's big. Yeah. With makeshift armor plating covering the cabin, engine, and parts of the tracks.
Oh, no.
In places, this armor was over 1 foot or 30 centimeters thick, consisting of concrete mixed between sheets of steel... to make ad hoc composite armor. So he gets a sheet of steel that is half an inch thick, fills in between with concrete. The other side is another sheet of steel and puts that everything. You can't see anything of this thing. So it's like a tank.
Man, he's like the Ned Kelly of bulldozers.
It's going to be super heavy too, right?
Super heavy. He hoped that this would make the machine impervious to small arms fire and resistant to explosives.
Holy shit, he's thought this through and that's terrifying.
So the bulldozer was completely covered. So for visibility, the bulldozer was fitted with several video cameras.
Oh my god.
Linked to two monitors mounted on the vehicle's dashboard.
No.
The cameras were protected on the outside by 3-inch or 75mm shields of bullet resistant plastic, so you couldn't shoot the cameras.
You still
off.
On board, Maddie?
Have you ever got really angry before? Like, really angry at someone. How long does that last? Does that last long enough
18
to
months.
Plan and build this epic kill machine?
I have been angry about things and messaged a friend about how angry I was. And by the time they replied, I wanted to talk about something else. I was like, oh, yeah, no, I am, yeah, whatever, it doesn't matter. But, hey, this fun thing happened. Like, no,
so
I'm not angry for 18 months.
If I would have been... Before I'd really finished the first page of planning,
yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck am I doing?
This is dumb.
It does sound like it was an awful scenario.
Totally,
but
not this.
Sold up, I'd be like, I'd be up for, like, you know, maybe leaving a little bit of rotten fish.
Uh-huh.
Down
I'd go to court.
You know, somewhere like that. No, I'm not going to court. Leave a little bit of fish.
You know, like, I'd fight that because, like... they can't.
Surely,
they can't fine him.
But he's
for
been
not
to
having
court.
A sewer line when they remove that. Like, that's fucking dumb.
But that's the thing. He's been to court and he's exhausted all legal options. So he feels like he's got nothing else.
That's
he can
the
do.
Most frustrating thing when you're like, but the system is fucked.
That's fucked. But
which was kind of like it in that episode we did about the town bully a month ago, where he just kept getting out, and the town's like, fuck.
Yeah.
I'm going to build a kill bot and mow down this mode.
Yeah, it's like vigilante style.
Yeah, shit.
Onboard fans and an air conditioner were used to keep a Himaya cool while driving.
Sure.
And compressed air nozzles were fitted to blow dust away from the video camera, so you couldn't sort of cover the video camera.
He's a genius.
He's a genius.
So it sounds good
so
far.
This is recent.
This is 2004.
This is in your lifetime.
Yeah.
2004. He loses me a little bit. He made 3 gun ports. Fitted with a 50 caliber sniper rifle, a semi-automatic 308, and a 22 long rifle, all fitted with half-inch thicker steel plates.
308, yep, all right.
A sniper rifle, an automatic gun, and a long rifle. That's pretty much what he's got. And they're aimed at all different positions, so he can shoot a lot. Are you still on board with the guns?
No.
Look, I'm still on board. Yeah. I'm just holding on to the killbot.
Killdozer. Throughout the 1.5 years of construction, Himaya documented his progress through notes and audio tapes. He received several visitors at his shop while working on his armored vehicle of vengeance. None of them seemed alarmed at the weaponized armored shell atop his earth mover. No one noticed.
Well, it's America, isn't it? I mean, when in America.
Holy shit.
In his notes, Himaya credited a higher power with clouding their vision. So now he's doing God's work.
Oh, thank God. Oh, thank God. So, God's on board.
Oh, you should have mentioned that at the beginning.
This sounds like something God would tick off, I reckon. If I know God like I think I do. I know him pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
What's that, God?
You guys were born around the same time.
No, I was born around the same time as Jesus. God.
Son of God.
God was never born.
God's Matt went to school with Jesus.
Did you?
Yeah.
What was he like?
Nazareth High. Yeah, yeah. Real good guy. Yeah. You know, it was a bit rough when I took him on in the final of the 50-meter fly, and he just bloody strolled to the finish line. But, you know, other Bible references as well.
Nailed it.
So this guy's already having a terrible time with his business. But in 2004, things became even harder for Marvin. His father passed away in March, and he broke off his engagement when he caught his fiancé with another man.
With another bulldozer.
What? This one doesn't even have thick armor. Is my armor not thick enough for you?
Does he sound like a guy who was probably not tending to his relationship enough?
Maybe.
You're always in that shed. You won't even let me come in. Don't come in. Knock, don't come in.
Knock, don't come in. You know the rules. Knock and then don't come in.
Go away. Okay.
That's them bonding.
So on the morning of Friday, June 4th, 2004, Himaya mailed his audio tapes to his brother, went to his shop and climbed into his bulldozer with a handwritten list of targets. Himaya apparently had no intention of leaving the cabin once he entered it.
I wonder if handwritten is important.
Pardon?
I wonder if handwritten
is
important.
Well, he had all those other whiz-bang features and he's just got a fucking list.
That's interesting.
But sorry, Dave, he never intended
written
to leave.
Written with lipstick.
Authorities speculated that he may have used a homemade crane found in his garage to lower the armor hull over the dozer and himself. So it's all incredibly heavy. So he somehow...
Man, it is heavy. This whole story, man.
Whoa, man. So, but it's so heavy that, and he's sort of sealed himself inside by putting the last bit on the front.
That means he's put seal blubber all over him. That's
He sealed himself
that's
inside.
What, yeah.
No, he's inside, put it in
him. Oh, cool. He sealed himself inside. Jesus.
Seal me up. Oh, and his wife's like, oh, so now you want me to come help. Okay. I'll seal you up.
Insert the seal.
Oh, don't. You're supposed to kill it first.
No, you can't put a dead seal in you. That's gross.
Yeah, that is gross.
Come on, guys.
What was I thinking?
That's inhumane.
I think we all know his first target. A certain
supermarket.
Concrete plant.
Ah.
Oh, not the shop?
No.
We're sure he was going to do the concrete shop first.
Yeah, sorry, the concrete shop. Sorry. I don't get my terminology
right.
They
had a plant out the back and a shop down the front.
Right.
They had like key rings and all sorts of cute merchandise at the front. But then
concrete key rings. Yeah, we're diversifying. And We do everything in concrete. What else can you get in concrete, Jess? You get key rings. You
concrete
get
mugs.
Yep, concrete stickers.
Concrete thongs.
Concrete hats.
Concrete sunglasses.
Concrete Creed
CDs.
CDs.
Oh, concrete Creed. That's good.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Concrete.
Do we say fridge magnets?
Fridge magnets. Concrete fridges.
Flags.
Concrete condom.
Oh, yeah. You got to have a concrete digger.
They're the only ones that are 100%.
Baby, I'm hard.
Oh, they are 100%.
Yeah. I think normal ones are about 99.9. You go concrete.
100%. You get the point. You get the 0.1.
You will not impregnate a woman because they will die.
And you will never make love again.
And your dick will fall off. It's not great, it's but you will. 100%. If you don't want to have a kid.
You want that peace of mind.
Yeah.
At just after 3 p.m., the makeshift tank tore through the side of his shed.
Oh, somebody's got 3 p.m.itis.
Did not even...
3:30. Fuck!
Did not even open the door. He just drove through the shed. Oh, yeah.
Ridiculous.
And he went straight for the mountain concrete plant where he fucked it up.
I imagine he's driving very slowly because it would be incredibly heavy.
Yeah, it doesn't drive real quick.
So, but like, what do you think he's listening to inside? Like, ma, baby,
takes the morning train. You know how when Ned Flanders absolutely loses it and then he gets in the car and he's just like, and he's singing along quietly. Yeah, yeah. Like, because he's absolutely insane.
Yeah,
that's great.
That's this guy.
That's that guy.
I imagine he's, I was picturing Iron Man. Down, 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 down.
Oh, that's good.
I am Iron Man.
I was picturing Welcome to the Jungle.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
yeah.
Does he have fireworks that come out of that?
Well, he's shooting a gun. Semi-automatic
what about
weapon.
Like AC/DC, but Thunderstruck.
Yeah, oh, that's so good.
Highway to
Thunderstruck.
Hell.
Thunderstruck.
Bit of
Led Zeppelin.
Bit of Beethoven. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun.
All good. All good.
Bit of river dance. Matt just did a little dance that you can't hear
so
or
good.
See.
So good, though. Can't create that in concrete. The one thing.
Concrete tap shoes.
They got that, that market
swimming
covered.
The fishes.
So he smashed into the concrete plant. A man named Cody Dochev, who is from the Dochev family, witnessed the... I legit just realized that. That's why I said that. I didn't realize that before. Witnessed the destruction in progress and attempted to use a front-end loader to intercept the rampaging bulldozer, but withdrew when he was fired upon from the gun ports of the killer.
Oh,
so he's firing his
God,
weapon going,
no.
Fuck you! Welcome to the jungle!
He was trying to take him on with a front-end loader. And how much armor and machine guns did his have?
How many months had he spent reworking that front-end loader?
Yeah. The difference is he had a wife who loved him.
That's all we
is
need.
Is that enough?
Within minutes, two buildings and multiple vehicles were destroyed. So he's smashing cars on the way. He's smashing houses. The bulldozer started to drive towards town. Sheriffs, which had quickly shown up, shot at it with handguns, but the bullets just bounced right off. The police tried explosives, but they too were no match for the machine. Even armor-piercing bullets couldn't penetrate the thick steel.
Oh, my God.
When the bulldozer arrived in town, Marvin effortlessly demolished cars and buildings, including the home of the former mayor.
Oh, my God.
The office of a newspaper that had sided against him in an editorial.
Holy shit.
Probably also gone against legalized gambling.
I'm on board with him until someone dies, if someone dies.
The business of a former city councilman. Someone had fucked him up. And, of course, the city hall.
Oh, no.
Bulldoze him to the ground.
Holy
police were just left to watch on as the events were covered live by news helicopters.
Because they can't stop him.
So there is vision of all this happening. You can, from a news helicopter.
Oh, my God.
Can we pause and watch this?
Can you imagine, like,
it's
the town?
Oh, it's crazy.
They would have just had to, like, evacuate the town because you don't know where he's going to go.
No. People are freaking
but
out.
But he's not shooting on anyone unless they approach him. He's just going to ruin businesses and buildings.
Yep. So far.
Holy shit.
Oh. I still feel like he's gonna. I feel like he's gonna come out of this somehow.
Mm-mm.
Another local tried to stop him when they got into their front end loader from a construction site, hoping to box in the killdozer when it went in, when it started demolishing something. But Marvin saw him coming and sped up and just smashed him out of the way.
Oh my God!
Marvin then took aim at Gamble's hardware store. He drove into the building, but by now the killdozer was running out of horsepower as it was damaged from all the the smashing.
Sure.
And the engine was struggling under the weight of the concrete shield.
Fair.
So it's so heavy. And he's also busted a radiator. But he's still moving. He plowed into the hardware store, and the guy with the front end loader drove in behind the killdozer. So he's the only way out is to keep driving through the hardware store. Because the street behind him is now blocked off. So he's just going to keep fucking driving.
Oh my God.
Marvin did this, but he drove over a shallow basement, which the dozer got one of its tracks stuck in. A SWAT team advanced on the killdozer. One of the officers heard a single gunshot from within the cabin.
Oh, no.
Explosives were employed to try to open the tank, but in the end it took 12 hours with an oxyacetylene torch.
I wonder what the gunshot was.
And
he's trying to open a packet of chips. Couldn't get the packet open.
I reckon he was trying to shoot the track back out of the hole in the ground. No, I'll shoot my way out here. Only got the one bullet for some reason. No. Now I guess I'll sit and wait.
They'll get me.
So it took 12 hours to open. They used a crane to get the armor off.
To jack it.
Inside, Heemeyer was sadly found dead. He had shot himself with his handgun. Oh. He was the lone casualty of the destruction spree, so no one else was killed.
I love this story. Apart from all the sadness that led to it.
Oh. You just said yes when Dave said somebody died.
No, I said yes and no one else died.
Oh.
So he is cheering for life, technically.
Yeah, that's a sad story.
It's an awful story.
Because he was put in a real awful spot. You imagine that he probably wouldn't have done this if he wasn't like battered down by a fucked up court system.
Yeah,
system.
But also, like, I think he was already pretty mentally unstable. Like, you know, with people saying if he was your mate, he was your best mate. If he wasn't, like, he was a bit crazy. That suggests to me he already
has. Hey, we've all got vendettas against Hayley.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
I don't know if I do.
She gave you one star, Matt.
Oh, man, I love it. I love that about her. She can be honest.
How
she
can
feels
you be positive about that?
What was her reasoning? Was it sound?
Yeah.
Did she hate?
She's allowed to have an opinion.
I think the reasoning was she wrote, "I'm a dog and an idiot." Something like that.
Oh, so she just mashed the keyboard with a nozzle.
Somehow.
Is that what dogs have on the end of their noses? Nozzles? No. What are they called? It's not a nozzle. Muzzle.
That's
no?
What you put on them.
All in all, the rampage had lasted two
hours. Snout.
All in all, the rampage had lasted 2 hours, 7 minutes, and caused about $7 million US in damage.
They should have just given him $1 million for his muff store, and this would never have happened.
His muff store.
No, they would have saved a lot.
What are you selling in there? Muff.
Muff. Today, there are a number of groups which idolize Heemeyer and his fight against a corrupt system, celebrating his ingenuity, ambition, and his apparently valiant effort to prevent any casualties. But it is unlikely that Heemeyer himself deserves credit for the lack of serious injuries or death, because many of the buildings he razed were occupied moments before he attacked them.
Yeah, wow.
There was also evidence of shots fired from the tank at multiple locations, including one attempt
at a preschool.
And a priest.
A priest school.
Including one attempt to detonate a cache of propane tanks.
Shit.
And a reported attempt to put a wall down onto a pair of police officers.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know. That's all different sources. Once the killdozer's cab was opened, Heemeyer was removed. The police inventoried his numerous guns and found his list of targets. In addition to buildings and businesses, the list included people's names. So maybe he was going to go for people.
Did he get through? So obviously he didn't get through the entire list.
No, he didn't get through the whole list.
Was he ticking them off as he went?
La, 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 tick, tick, tick. Oh, Gamble's Hardware Store, nearly missed you.
Boom. Oh, my God.
So, but that is, oh, man, I'd never heard of that. And that seems like one of those crazy stories.
That's so recent. I can't believe it.
Was that not on the news?
Must have been. Like, it would have been a small story here, I guess, because it's the US, but
it feels like that's got to be the big story.
Yeah. Proximity,
What bigger could have happened on that day?
I don't know. Probably Shane Warne did something.
Shane Warne was found guilty of
being too cool.
Being too cool, yeah.
Wow. Dave?
Of bamboozling another English batting attack.
Amazing
Shane Warne's a cricketer, by the way.
I think they know.
Do you think the people of Colorado know who Shane Warne is?
Good point.
Do you think the people at Gamble's Hardware Store that had their store destroyed would
all right,
be
mate. All right.
would bask in the glory of Shane.
Yes,
absolutely.
Shane Warne.
If you don't know him, look him up.
Oh, do yourself a favour.
He had a short-lived Tonight Show.
Oh, and his question was always, boxers or briefs? Oh. He asked every segment.
But he also had the singer from, what's that band you like? With the song about clocks?
Coldplay.
Oh, Chris Martin.
He had Chris Martin.
Because they're friends.
The song about clocks.
And he goes...
Nailed it.
And he goes... He was interviewing people and hosting a show. Anyway, so good. But at one point he interviews Chris Martin. He goes, what's your favourite Coldplay song? One Scientist.
like a kid in a playground.
That is so funny.
Well, that's one of my
he
favorites.
Was briefly engaged to Liz Hurley. And his kids go to the school my mum works at. So one time Liz Hurley came in to pick him up. My mum saw Liz Hurley.
Liz Hurley that is from pretty Austin cool. Powers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And also the L'Oreal nice. Ad. She's nice.
Yeah, she says she's very nice.
Oh, Shagadelic, to borrow a term from our friends at the Mike
Shane
Check.
Warne. Oh.
Mike Check podcast, where they talk about Mike Myers movies. What more could you want?
It's a really good podcast. You should check that out as well.
But thank you so much, Patrons. I hope you enjoyed that little report on the Killdozer. Look, it's a great story. I wish he hadn't killed himself at the end, but...
I wish none of it had happened, to be perfectly honest with you.
Really? It's amazing that he smashed $7 million.
Yeah, but imagine trying to rebuild that city now.
Yeah, other people are pretty pissed off
awful.
About that.
I wonder, but what happened to the system? I really thought you would have been on board the Dozer.
Yeah, Jess, I thought you'd be backing him 110.
I was backing him up until the point that he went on a really dangerous and violent rampage.
I thought that'd be the bit where you went, strap me in, this bad boy.
No.
You liked the bit where he quietly... furiously built a killing machine.
Sometimes.
Did you just enjoy the bit where he sent a check saying cowards?
Yeah,
so I've stopped there.
Thought that was pretty funny.
I'll call this episode the coward check.
I wonder if the system has changed at all. Like, has he got a legacy in that way that now maybe people can't just be blocked off from their business, can't be blocked off from amenities.
So dumb.
So
that's
weird.
Such a weird.
It's bad.
Decision.
Yeah, I feel for him.
Man, councils can be no good. They can be very good. And they can also be very no good.
As always, maybe we should leave you with Matt's final thought there. Remember Jerry Springer had the final thought?
Be good to yourselves and each other. Something like that, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's always that.
It's beautiful.
While people chanted Steve, Steve, Steve. And can we get some questions from the audience? Can I touch Steve's head? The bald security guard who still has his own TV show. Do you know that?
No.
Steve, look it up.
Awesome.
Anyway, lots of stuff for you to look up for Patrons.
Mainly Shane Warne.
Yeah. My scientist.
Mine's scientist.
Mine's like, cool.
Yeah.
Thank right. you. Yeah, yeah mine's great. Yellow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so good. But thanks so much for supporting the show. Get in contact as you always do, Patrons. Let us know if you have any, maybe you can suggest some small topics that we could do for upcoming bonus episodes.
Yeah.
But, and also some of you are in Sydney or in the New South Wales surrounding areas, because you contribute $10 plus a month, you're entitled to a free ticket to our upcoming podcast, which we're doing live on Sunday, August the 27th. So either message us on Patreon or email us if you would like to claim your ticket.
And we will see you there.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun.
So cool. We really enjoy meeting mad dogs.
We really enjoy.
You are the creme of the creme.
Uh-huh.
Creme de la creme of the creme.
Wow. That's the top echelon of creme.
So much creme. Too echelon. Good word.
Ugh.
Very nice. Anyway.
Anyway, thanks so much, guys. We'll be back next month with a bonus episode. But until then, we will say thank you and...
Do go Patreon!
Be good to yourselves and each other.